to the hour 7. While the new state budget that begins on July 1st poses tough yet manageable challenges, they pale in comparison to those facing state officials 7 months from now. Ask Governor Ned Lamont and the legislature's Democratic majority how they plan to close a projected $4 billion gap over 2 years, likely with nothing left in the rainy day fund, and they'll usually deflect with the same answers. Maybe Congress will approve more aid for the states. Unlikely. And if so, I doubt it'll be $4 billion for the state of Connecticut. Or perhaps the economy will rebound quickly. But you dig a little deeper, and it becomes clear the business-sensitive governor and his more liberal base are headed in opposite directions. To discuss this further, we have our first guest this morning, former state senator and recently announced state senate candidate, Len Susio. Len, good morning.
Hey, Gary. Good morning to you. What a beautiful day it looks like it's going to be today.
You know, I heard it's going to be, and the humidity has, temporarily for the next few days, gone away. But we have no windows in this studio. I couldn't tell you if it was raining, if it was pitch blackout, or beautiful. I'm going to take your word for it, though, Len.
Hey, I got to listen to your guest for later this week, Dave Horowitz. He's a great speaker, a great writer. He's got an interesting story. You got to let me know what time he's going to be on. I got to make sure I tune in.
Yeah. I'm not sure what time he's coming on yet, but we did book him last week, and because he sent us. Well, first of all, I endorse Newsmax TV. And yes, they gave me a free copy of his book, which any of our listeners can get absolutely free. You save $28 on that hardcover price, by going to, blitz411.com or calling 800-NEWSMAX. You'll get this book. So listen, I got this book, and I'm almost done reading an 800-page biography. So I got this book, and I'm like, I don't want to start this quite yet. I want to finish the book that I'm currently reading. But I happen to just pick it up. It's only about 230 pages. You probably get through it in a weekend. But I just picked any random page in the middle of the book, and it gripped me. I'm reading page after page after page. I'm like, I shouldn't do this. Let me start at the beginning, you know. So, and by the way, since you're getting it for free, when you're done reading it, hand it out to as many different people as you can, because I really think the more people that read it, the better it will help Trump this November.
Yes, yeah, and David Horowitz's own story. He was a wacky radical lefty at one point.
That's right.
He's totally the opposite now. He's got quite a journey. His story is very interesting, and he's truly an intellectual too.
What changed him to go from a crazy wacky liberal to a crazy wacky conservative?
Well, I don't think it was a specific event or anything like that, but it's true. Like, I think it was Margaret Thatcher that once quipped that if you're young and not liberal, you don't have a heart. And if you're old and not conservative, you don't have a brain. And I think it's just life's experience. You realize that the government can't solve anything and everything, that we are, even in the USA, the richest, the most successful country in all of human history, has limited resources. And that we're better off when people can help themselves, as opposed to becoming dependent on government programs. And too large a part of our population has become the latter, and it's not good for them or the country.
Well, I think that's at the heart of conservatism, of the Republican Party, is, these programs that the government sets up are really meant to be temporary, just to help get you back on your feet. You should not be living off them and ripping off, the system. And unfortunately, or sadly, I should say, there are plenty of people who misuse these programs and live off of them. And actually, not just only live off of them, but in a sense, rip them off. How many people do you know are double dipping, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But, you just started out this discussion with reading from an article about the financial catastrophe of, that Connecticut's facing Yep. We've been teeter-tottering on the brink of a financial disaster since the 2008 recession. There was a really good article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about Connecticut was dead last of all 50 states in terms of its gross domestic product, which is down $12 billion between 2007 and 2019. Mm-hmm. Worst of all the states. And, of course, it has dire consequences in terms of revenues and tax collections. And between that and the fact that Connecticut's spending has never been under control, it's just been totally out of control, it's a prescription for a complete disaster this year and next year. And it's going to be quite a challenge, and it's going to be interesting to see what the legislature does to balance the budget. The article in the Connecticut Mirror a few weeks ago pointed out that the governor is more inclined to look at spending cuts, but the Democratic-dominated and controlled legislature is inclined to be reluctant to cut anything at all, which means big, gigantic tax increases are very likely on the horizon if we end up with a Democratic-controlled legislature once again next year. It'll be deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra used to say.
Yeah, he certainly did. I mean, where can we cut, though, Len? That's the golden question, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of areas that could be looked at. I mean, of course, people immediately start out talking about waste and this and that. And yes, there is definitely, I'm certain, waste in government. You maybe find a 1 or 2% there that you could save. You know, in a $20 billion budget, that's several hundred million dollars. But there, to me, we've got to take a look at every program we have in terms of its efficacy and what our priorities are. A good example would be how we subsidized the commute on the railroad down from New Haven to New York City. The wealthiest, most the highest income earning population in the entire country is commuting on that train line that we subsidized to the tune of $130 million a year. That to me is something that ought to be reconsidered. And it's only a beginning. You know, we have this earned income tax credit program, which is another $150 million or so a year. And that's another program I think has got to be reconsidered, because it's one thing not to pay taxes. That's fine and dandy if you're poor. But it's another thing to actually get paid by the government, beyond any taxes that you've paid. So those are two programs right off the bat that add up to more than $250 million a year, in spending. That might we have to take a hard look at. Everything should be on the table.
Yeah.
Nothing should be off the table, because we're in dire.
Yeah, dire. And sadly, you know, the residents of the state have been hearing that for years. You know, and they just figured, oh well, just don't mess with my programs. But the truth of the matter is that the larger aggregate of constituents you're addressing. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody for every program that's out there. So you're going to, if you're going to cut, it's going to affect somebody, a voter, so to speak, you know?
Yes. And that's the problem, of course. The programs are great when you start them, and of course you get a constituency that loves it and will support you for it. But in the end, you become captive to your own program.
That's right.
If you cut them, you risk the ire of the people depend on it. I mean, look at another area to look at is like UConn and the healthcare center. Between the university and the healthcare center, that's $1 billion a year of subsidies. I mean, that we're talking about that, you know, might be in normal times might be fine and dandy, but now that we're facing a financial catastrophe of unprecedented proportions here in Connecticut, and this is after, you know, Governor Malloy and his 8 years of record-breaking tax increases, which didn't end up balancing the budget at all. Are we going to repeat the mistakes of the Malloy administration? Is Governor Lamont going to engage in business as usual and not learn from the mistakes?
You know,
the record-breaking tax increase that Malloy advocated in 2011 that was passed by the legislature was followed by yet another big tax increase, and then a third one. And, of course, last year, Lamont actually initiated another tax increase in the form of various sales taxes. It wasn't as big as Malloy's, but it's just one tax increase after the other. And a huge part of the state has been laid off. I mean, the taxpayers are harder pressed than ever, in terms of being able to bear the current burden, let alone have it have the legislature add to that burden again. And you know without any doubt whatsoever that a Democratic-dominated legislature is going to prefer the tax increases. They seem to have more sympathy for the beneficiaries of the program than rather than the poor taxpayer here in Connecticut, and it's time to rethink how we're doing here, business here in Connecticut.
Yeah, we're speaking with former state senator and current candidate for state senator, Len Susio. Len, do you think tolls will come back into the public eye and the discussions up at the Capitol next January?
No doubt in my mind that'll happen, especially if the same people are elected up to the Capitol again. We know that the majority of legislators, the Democrats, support the idea of tolls. But they were intimidated because they saw such overwhelming public opposition. And I think if those same legislators are reelected next year, in spite of the fact they came close to passing the dreaded and hated idea of tolls, they'll take that as a cue that they can pass tolls and still get elected again. So I think if we return the same legislators to the legislature next year, it's a prescription for tolls, and I think it'll be passed.
I ask that because, I don't know, several months ago, we had Speaker of the House, Joe Arosemowicz, on, and I asked him about tolls. And, you know, as you know, he's all done. He's not running again.
Right.
And he said, no, it's done. It's permanent. It's pretty loud and clear. No one wants it. Even the Democrats, we couldn't even get all them on board, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm looking, you know, at this deficit and how huge it is. Like you said, it's unprecedented. If you think, folks, we've been broke in the past and made some bad decisions, and you ain't seen nothing yet, because we're in a deeper hole than that humongous hole that we were to begin with. But I will get into more of that another time. But we've got to close that gap somehow, and I'm thinking, maybe Mr. Arosemowicz spoke a little too soon. I'm kind of thinking now it's back on the table.
Gary, there's no doubt in my mind, if the same legislators are returning next year, it's going to come up and it will pass. Because, again, they were holding their breath this year. They ran into unbelievable public opposition. The No Tolls Connecticut people did a fantastic job.
Yeah, but they'll be back out next year, too. I mean, the No Tolls CD, and they'll all be back out.
Yes, but, you know, the problem is that the budget deficit, the record-breaking deficit now, one that's even bigger than what Governor Malloy inherited when he first came into office back in 2011, that deficit is going to be a stronger argument by the toll proponents, because they've always said all along that they've been raiding the general fund, by the way, which is a lie. Not true, but they've been raiding the general fund to balance the special transportation fund, and now they're going to say we can't afford to do it anymore because the general fund itself is broke. And that's going to be the argument that's going to be made, that we have no choice now, that, oh, I wouldn't, in normal times, I wouldn't support tolls, but now that we're in such dire financial circumstances, we have no choice. There's not a single doubt in my mind about that, Gary. So the public has got a big choice this fall when they go into vote who's going to represent them, because there's no doubt that a Democratic-controlled House and Senate.
All right, so tolls, let's say tolls are back on the table, then that would, it probably does make more sense. Last year was an election year. This is an election year, so they're not going to bring it up. But next year, the election will be in their rearview mirror. Yeah. I would imagine recreational marijuana and just tax the bejesus out of it, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. They're going to be looking for every excuse they can to raise taxes in whatever form. They'll probably broaden the sales tax even.